Welcome. Today I have the great honor of speaking and meeting with my junior research fellow, Ms. Sukhpal Kaur Sangha. She was a junior research fellow here at the NATO Association of Canada over the past few months. Sukhpal, thank you very much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Thank you for having me.
I would like to begin by asking you the following question. With your extensive expertise and your background, what is the best advice that you can provide to those interested in pursuing a career in international relations and affairs?
So, hello everyone. The best advice I can provide someone is to pick a region or an area in the world that you are most passionate about and try to learn everything you can about that area. So, from the history to all the way through to its development to the present, and see how international affairs are impacting your region that you are most interested about. So, what do I mean by this? For example, I love the region of Latin America. I focus on the area from Mexico down to Chile, and I don't focus too much on the Caribbean. I just want to narrow it down. And I can go on and on why I love this region. But the important thing is to learn about how international relations are impacting your region. So I published a couple articles. The very first one was China's new economic friend, and it discussed the repercussions and the implications of China's increasing investment into Latin America and how the trend towards the changes that are happening are sort of changing the way Latin America has been from the past. Because since the Spanish-American War of 1898, the U.S. has been a primary actor in Latin America. And in the 20th century, the extent of U.S. influence we can see through declassified U.S. FBI documents. So basically where I'm going with all this is to pick an area that you really love, focus on it, learn as much as you can, and find a career in international relations and affairs that deals with your area, because it can be a very broad topic area of interest when you're trying to find a career. So if you pick an area, you narrow it down, you try to be the number one person in everything that's going on in that area, your career will follow after.
As a junior research fellow here at the NATO Association of Canada, what is the best advice that you could provide to those interested in perhaps pursuing a junior research fellowship?
So the best advice I can provide someone who would like a fellowship is to remember who your target audience is for. At NATO Association of Canada, the focus is mainly on Canadians who are on the go. So they want to be able to read your article and know everything that you're trying to get across and be able to get that information and still leave them with knowledge that they can use and maybe contemplate later. So when you're submitting your article, in your initial article to obtain the fellowship, you want to make sure that it's short, to the point, and that, it caters to your target audience, or NATO's Association of Canada's target audience.
What would you say were some of your most rewarding and challenging aspects associated with your junior research fellowship here at the NATO Association of Canada?
So what I found the most rewarding was that I was able to write about topics that I was most passionate about and interested in, topics like the global seed movement, so with genetically modified organisms, biometrics, piracy among Southeast Asia. Those were some of my topics. The challenging aspects, I would say, would be the timing of my articles. So sometimes my article will be published and then maybe a week later something happened and or developed in that area of interest, and I wish I could have added it to my article, but it was too late by then.
I have to say that you've certainly made a lot of valuable contributions, and as the program editor of Global Horizons, I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to have such a talented and gifted junior research fellow and writer such as yourself. So I certainly thank you, and I am very grateful to have had the opportunity to edit some of the articles that you have written and that have been published on NATO's site. There are a lot of people that are probably wondering what your plans are now that you successfully submitted all of your articles for publication. And as someone who's succeeded in the completion of the Junior Research Fellowship, where do you see your future and what are some of your next steps?
Good question. It's so hard right now to find, I would say, my area of interest. I definitely want to do something in criminal analyst position or in security. But I also at the same time will like to stay on with NATO Association of Canada. Now that my internship fellowship is kind of completed, I would like to continue to write articles for sure in some other capacity or position.
And I'm certain that we would love to have you stay on as a contributor or research analyst here at the NATO Association of Canada. Sukhpal, would you be able to discuss some of your favorite areas to focus on? I know you touched on this previously, but would you be able to elaborate on some of your favorite main areas to focus on while writing for the NATO Association?
Definitely. You can tell from many of my articles that they range in topic areas widely. I love a lot of different areas, and I kind of like to say that I focus on news that, or I try to write articles that are kind of reporting on underrelated topics that are not as predominant in the media. So, for example, nuclear waste. So when the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster happened in Japan, recently they opened up their first nuclear power plant in the it's called the Shendai Nuclear Power Plant this year, and we also saw Iran sanctions being lifted. So in the media, they were talking a lot about how great it was that Iran was going to dismantle its nuclear program and you have power plants opening up, but no one was talking about nuclear waste. So I wanted to see if I could kind of take something that's happening in the media and spin it in a different way and talk about an underreported viewpoint. I loved talking about, like I said, the global seed movement, water privatization. So I talked about the Bolivian water war that happened 2000 and how today we're still seeing the effects of increasing water privatization that is happening, along with the Convention on International Trade on Endangered Species of Wild Flora and Fauna, so CITES. That was another thing of how lucrative a business smuggling wildlife is. So a lot of my articles, I just very interested in a lot of very different areas that I love. So there's no real one, two areas that I love. But what you can see throughout my articles is the theme of Latin America. I'll always try to mention either a country from there or something that I think that I can somehow tie back to how this is affecting my favorite area, which is Latin America.
I have to say that as a person with a Polish background, I have a lot of friends who are Latin American, and a few of the interviews that I had published under the Global Horizons program, the impact of certain areas in Latin America by examining the relationship between certain Latin American countries with the United States of America and comparing how that relationship compares to the relationship between certain Latin American countries and Canada. So Latin America is certainly a very, very rich, and there is a lot to be discussed. As a program editor and as someone who has gone through and edited your articles, I can say that I certainly enjoyed reading your articles, and especially the ones that focused on Latin America and the impact of times as they have changed. I can say that it was certainly refreshing to be provided with that opportunity to see your perspective. And then also as time progressed, I did see that in terms of your writing, you don't focus just on one area, you focus on everything.
Yeah.
So that's that's always something that program editors look forward to, is when they get a chance to have a writer, a junior research fellow, who doesn't just focus on one area, but can focus pretty much on anything and everything. Sukhpal, obviously a lot of great writers have people who influence them. Who would you say has inspired you throughout your career?
I would say three people. The very first one would be my father. Growing up, he would always tell me, read the newspaper every day, you know, read about it, see what's happening. And because of him, to this day, I still remember things that I was reading all the way back when I was very young, and how even today now, that news is still relevant. It's still developing. So I definitely thank my father for that. The other two people I would say I would thank is a professor I had in my undergraduate. During my degree I was pursuing, I had a Latin American professor in history, And he really opened up my eyes and how we can use different things like photographs to try to, from the past, to try to see what was going on. It was just remarkable. And he also helped me develop my passion and my love for Latin America. I'm personally not from there, but I do love the region and I love the rich history that comes with it. The last person would be have to be my social cultural anthropology professor. Again, she was amazing. I had her during my undergraduate career when I was pursuing my degree, and she talked a lot about certain areas of interest that are relevant to international relations and affairs, but at the same time with a twist in a sort of anthropological perspective.
In terms of international relations and affairs, what would you say are the top three major issues of concern happening in the world today?
So the very first one I would say is the mass migration of people. So this encompasses what's going on in Europe right now, along with just the idea how people can, the movement of people around the world is a lot more easier now with the mode of travel, with airplanes, and you have the Arctic Passageway opening up, which leads to my second major concern, which would be climate change. Definitely, we see severe effects happening on the planet, and we'll probably discuss this later on, is island nations who are being threatened by climate change. And the last one I would say is the advancement of technology. So this encompasses hacking, cyber terrorism, anything that has to do with the World Wide Web, the Deep Web. All of these things I think are top major concern happening in the world today.
In your final publication, hopefully it won't be the final one as we proceed, but in one of your most recent publications, Horizons of Change, you mentioned that in the post-Soviet era, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization changed to become more about membership enlargement, focusing on global deployment and military transformation. The real driving force that started everything was the violence in former Yugoslavia. In 2003, NATO created the NATO Response Force, which was a symbolic sign of NATO's transformation. Please discuss the significance and the impact of the NRF, the NATO Response Force.
So the NATO Response Force, I'm just going to read a little bit of the definition that I got off of the NATO website, is a highly ready and technologically advanced multinational force made up of land, air, maritime, and special operation forces. The NRF can be used for greater cooperation in education, training, increased exercises, and technology. So the impact of the NRF can be greatly seen towards the use of in membership enlargement in NATO after its creation in 2003. The NRF can provide what NATO was lacking prior, which is a force that can kind of provide immediate assistance and response. So an example would be the NRF was deployed during the 2005 Hurricane Katrina for humanitarian assistance. And the NRF has also attracted, even though not membership enlargement, meaning not a permanent member to NATO, but it has attracted support from Finland, which joined the NRF in 2008. Sweden as well joined. So the NRF is definitely a tool that we can see is transforming NATO to the present.